Welcome back to Red Eyes Radio. My name is Henrik Palmgren. Thank you very much for tuning in. It's nice to be back now in 2009. And this is our first radio program of the new year. And we have a whole lot of great stuff lined up for 2009 when it comes to radio, webcasts, website changes and improvements, and a lot of film ideas that we want to get started and get out there. So stay tuned to our website, redeyescreations.com, and join our member section. If you aren't a member already, that's the best way to get full access to all the audio and video content that we have available for you. All right, for this first program of the year, we have invited Sonia Barrett to the show. She is an author of a new book called The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter. And Sonia also does lectures, and she has her own radio program, and she covers a lot of different subjects. And today we're primarily going to talk about her new book, but I'm sure we'll get into some interesting highways and byways as well. The main website that you can check out is spiritinform.com. That's spiritinform.com for much more information about the book and articles and so forth. So with that, welcome to the program, Sonia. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me on. I am a big fan of your show. My sons are, they listen to listen to your show all the time, so they were actually sort of fascinated or excited to hear that I was going to do your show.
Excellent. Thanks for mentioning that, and give my best to them then. It's great to hear people are tuning in and listening. So, I mean, you're a new voice, so to speak, for our listeners here. And why don't we begin? You know, you could tell us a little bit about yourself and some of your background, and I guess primarily kind of how you got into some of these subjects that we're going to discuss here today.
Well, let's see. My background. I am actually, I started out like everybody else. Not, I shouldn't say everybody, because some people are more curious than others. But I always had a curiosity as a child, and I guess I just will start by saying that. And that curiosity started out with my one question in growing up in church is, you know, who was this God that we were talking about? That one question for me would, you know, it led to this very moment that I'm sitting here talking. So many questions. Obviously, I went through my life, doing the normal thing, getting married, having children, all of those things, even though in my teenage years, I started digging into I love sci-fi, but I started digging into things like the Bermuda Triangle, questions about of all of those things of that nature. And it kind of spooked myself a little bit because of, I guess, some of the things that was unraveling from my own self, realizing just how much I had access to information, not just the information that I would find in books, but that I, you know, could actually do that, tap into that. So I sort of set that aside, and as I said, you know, went ahead, did the normal thing, the marriage, the kids, all of that. And, you know, later on, after a divorce, that was actually the time when I started to really dig in. I had no idea what I was going to be digging into. Now, as far as my background, as far as a scientific background, I don't have a scientific background, meaning I don't have a degree in science. I've never taken physics in my life. So that's what became interesting, is the fact that I did not have that, but what I would come to understand in terms of, you know, life, the science from a scientific aspect. And so, you know, I studied voice as a voice major in college, and was always, you know, fascinated and interested in music and the arts in general. So that's a basic background, so people can understand. So it's, I didn't come from, you know, all of the heavy duty background that would seem like I probably had by some of the things that I ended up getting into.
Right.
So that's sort of what sets that stage right there.
Interesting. And you mentioned science. Were this something that kind of you had to read up on as you went along? Because I guess studying the nature or the origins of both, you know, the human being, of course, but also the mystery of the universe, that's something that kind of you have to dive into, I guess.
Right. Well, what happened is, without going into a long story, what happened is, just through my own quest, then through my own search and getting into meditation and meditation for me, I had no idea how to meditate. I didn't have any workshops or teachers or gurus or guides or anything of that nature. I just sort of set out to try to figure this thing out on my own.
Yeah.
And with that, I started to started to write a lot of information. And it just turns out that I was dealing with things like, you know, color, light, sound. And in a way that I didn't understand. Later on, obviously, I would understand a lot more about it, but I was writing things that would have been considered scientific or more quantum physics based.
Right.
Didn't know the words quantum physics at all. Had no idea about that. So that sort of unfolded from within me. But as time would go on, I started to then look at other scientific information, other information that would support what I was hearing and allowed me to understand even more. So that's sort of what happened. So that's a good part of what I promote in sharing any kind of information, and what the book really promotes is one's ability to have access to that kind of information. And not just a select few, which is the reason for the madness that we see in our reality today. People wanting to own information and power and controlling everyone else, and only the elite are allowed to know these sciences.
Excellent. And so you're opening up that. Would you say that it's scientific oriented, or is this more for, you know, in layman's terms, so to speak, try to get these subjects into a easily, you know, comprehensible subject?
Oh, it's in layman's terms, because even though I'm writing it and it's scientific, it's still not scientific per se in terms of from the aspect of a scientist writing it. But yes, it's been read by so many people who did not have any scientific background at all. So it's written simply. And I've been told by quite a few people, they were then encouraged to begin to dig in to finding out more about the human body, the brain, and just the sciences. They were encouraged to do that, because you realize that you kind of have to in needing to understand more about the nature of our world.
Yes, absolutely. And so, I mean, what would you say are some of the, you know, if we dive into some of the subjects that you do cover in your book, The Holographic Canvas, in regards to quantum physics and so forth, what would you say are kind of some of the most, you know, interesting, I guess, revelations that you encountered when it comes to, you know, I guess we can say the nature of the human being, or either, you know, what the construct of the universe is?
Well, I talk about time travel, but not from the perspective of vehicles per se, physical vehicles, but from the perspective of us as human beings moving about more from the level of you know, pure consciousness, and the fact that we are time traveling all of the time. So I talk, I guess the book discusses a lot about the trippiness of time.
Yeah.
Because that's where so much of the confusion comes in, is really understanding that nothing is really as static, as stationary as we would like to think. And I think that alone creates a huge confusion. So things are changing all the time. So that's a huge focus of the book, is explaining how we are jumping from one concept of time to the next by a single thought, by every choice that we make. It might appear that the reality before us is the same one all the time, but you're actually jumping around. Your consciousness is actually moving around, as opposed to just the you thinking that your physical body is sitting in one place. So that's one thing that's covered, along with the concept of ascension, lots of the deceptions, and again, one's ability to access this information, because you know, it is encoded in the air we breathe, in everything. Huge focus on that. Huge focus is empowerment. Huge focus also is people coming into a realization of the programs by which we've lived, that we've been living packaged lives, packaged concepts.
Yes.
That everybody gets. You know, I say you get a travel package. You know, you come in, you get your travel itinerary, and you get a package, and the package says, okay, here's the deal. This is how this reality operates. These are the things that you're going to go by. These are the beliefs you will have. You will have an assortment of things that may appear to be your own thoughts, choices, and beliefs, but they are part of a package. But we try to give you an assortment so you think that, you know, you're operating on your own pure organic concepts. So I explore that and present that to people to really start looking at themselves, and even to realize what you think, what you've thought that you liked all along. It could be a simple thing as a color, a specific color. You know, that's my favorite color. Mm-hmm. But it's so amazing to realize the associations, the imprints, the things that we are associating, so many things in our lives that we think that we like or want. And it's generally attached to, again, that package, that social package, or just the overall construct of what we call the matrix then, or the system itself.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could go on further in that, but that's the basic premise. You understanding that you operate in a system that most people will define, yes, as the matrix, but you operate in a system, and the system has a specific format by which it will function. Now, that doesn't mean that one has to be stuck within that format, but you don't realize that until somehow you are triggered and you awaken from that, and you are able to operate in it and outside of it at the same time. But unless you figure that out, you are going to continue to operate by these programs.
You know, when you talk about system, I'm thinking of that there's actually, or could be then, two different systems. One is the human-created system, of course, but what you're talking about now, would you say that that's more actually of a construct of the world that we're currently in, and then, you know, on top of that, we have the human-created system of the government, of the controlling structure, and so forth?
Absolutely. You've got about two or three systems going. You've got the system itself, which, if we look at the planet Earth then, I mean, like all other planets, but we look at the planet Earth, and we recognize that one. Let's look at the gaseous laws, which is very important to see, to really recognize that to begin with. The gaseous laws of this planet then is structured in a way to accommodate a particular form of life. I think we can all agree to that. Now, there is then another construct then as to how that particular form of life will operate, or the experiences that can be had or are to be had within that particular construct based on the design of the planet, the gaseous laws of the planets. Obviously, our bodies are designed to function within those laws. So there is that construct. And then, of course, there is the governmental structure, the governmental matrix, those that rule, those that control. And that design is set up in such a way that helps to ensure or to carry out the laws, the limitations then by which a human being will operate. So that limitation then typically will disconnect you, an individual, from really seeing beyond the construct, then the limited construct of the reality in which we live, and that includes the whole concept of time and the sciences by which any of this operates. So you're just operating in this wheel of programs, and the government, the systems ensure that limitation because you are too busy complying, you know, with these laws in order to really pay attention to too much. So you obviously you get your packaged religion or your packaged spiritual beliefs or whatever it is, as you work at complying with these laws in order to not suffer the consequences of non-compliance.
Very interesting. And my thoughts are also, you know, on the human body a little bit. You're mentioning that would you say that we are in that sense time travelers in regards to the human body, or even our, well, I mean, we are on a linear, you know, curve. We are born and then we, you know, we live and we die. We're on a treadmill here, so to speak. But would you say that the human body is so much more than that? You know, is this just a vehicle that we're experiencing this in? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. There is so much more going on here. It's mind-boggling. It's so huge in terms of what we no longer have access to in terms of our memory. And yes, there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more capabilities that the human body has. And it is a vehicle. It is a vessel. It's no different than you know, one putting on a spacesuit to go to whatever planet or whatever space you would need to be outfitted for, because you have to be able to operate obviously within the laws of that space. So these bodies we are being animated obviously by something else, by another force, energy, which would be you. So there's an animation process that is really taking place. What has happened, however, is that because we no longer, we're so disconnected from that memory, then the body goes on autopilot. And that's how we are operating by programs. We're operating on auto. So everything that we end up doing, most of what we do is automated. Your brain carries a library of information, a library of acceptabilities that are, you know, basically programmed in there from the beginning. I say the beginning of time to some degree, because there's a lot that we're not accessing. So there's a point of information there where we've accepted what physical reality will look like, and those things that we will acknowledge collectively. And so the brain carries that library, a massive library of those things, and that's what we operate by. And because of that, our perceptions become quite limited, because unless we can perceive of something beyond the common library, that collective consciousness operates by, people don't want to step beyond that. If you mention something that is outside of the scope of the program, people get very, very, they short circuit, is what I say. They get very upset with you because you're shaking their world, you're shaking their program, and that's very uncomfortable. That's why it's necessary for the powers that be to have us all sort of think or believe base principles, because then it's easier. If everybody sees that everybody else is operating by some base principles, then we're comfortable.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's unfortunately how it seems to be these days. And when you talk about program, I'm thinking of You know, we have different kind of factors here, so to speak, that, that this might come from, or rather the interface of this. I'm thinking of, you know, genetics or even DNA, or would you say that this is primarily something that has to do with the, you know, with the brain and the neural network of how the human being is built up? What do you think?
Right. I do. I absolutely do. Because, you know, we always have the capability to create new neural pathways, to create a new design for life. So, yes, actually, I do see that. And I missed my point. There was something I was going to tell you about the brain, and it just kind of went right out of my thought process.
That's how the brain works, right?
yeah, it does. It's like, I don't know, something said, shoot, no, you won't be saying that. But yes, the brain is actually a real phenomenal space, because of the fact that you are constructing a private reality. Even though we have this, you know, collective agreement in terms of what we see, we do have our own private construct of what we perceive our reality to be. And I think sometimes we think that we're seeing everything the same way, but I kind of wonder if we really are seeing everything the same way, even though, you know, the wiring, we all have the same kind of wiring, but still at the same time we have the capability of creating our own individual construct of what reality could be. And I know I missed part of what your question was, but that all went out the door when that when my thought flew out the door.
Absolutely. No, it was more about, I guess, I mean, there's a lot of science that is talking about the importance or the function, I guess, rather, of DNA itself, the genetic imprint that we are, you know, kind of, that we come into this world with, basically.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, we do. We're, first of all, we're carrying all these imprints from, as I said, from generations back. You've got these imprints, you've got the ancestral stuff, you've got, you know, you just have everything, you're carrying everything besides your own bloodline of imprints, you're carrying that. And then, of course, we've got the base imprints, which we are operating by, and those base imprints are what we have, for example, a base imprint is we automatically know that gravity holds us. You know, that's an automatic thing in our minds, that we can't bypass gravity. Well, how do we know that? I mean, technically, if, you know, that those are questions for me that I really started to ask. Is this a programming? Because the brain is going to accept anything and allow the body to operate based on what we actually really are believing. And so the cells in the body are going to respond. Everything about your physical vehicle is going to respond according to that. So in terms of even DNA, in terms of coming into this life, now that gets into a whole other area, which is so hard to ignore. It raises a question then about past lives. It raises that question because people come into this life, and I don't believe that there's anybody more special than the other. Why we come in and experience different circumstances. I do believe that people come in with, they're carrying certain codes and certain experiences and certain information solely related to that particular soul, that particular individual. Now they will need other people in there to come into their space in their life, as we all do, in order to make our life real, in order for the script, whatever script we write, you know, every next moment, we need each other to play those parts. So it's very hard to not look at that whole concept. However, for me, the whole concept of past lives, I see that very differently, because past, present, and future exist simultaneously. So I feel that everything is really all happening in layers at the same time.
Yes.
And then that could go get very trippy too, because now somebody says, well, you know, what when somebody dies? Okay, but in which time? In which time space? There are too many unanswered questions. There's too much that we do not understand about the manner in which what we call time, how it actually operates, and what's operating it, and how consistent is it, and how do you know that, you know, yesterday was yesterday and yesterday existed? I mean, it was just too many questions. After all, the brain, you know, we're on a psychedelic trip in terms of the hormones and chemicals that are, you know, processing in the brain and allowing the experience to occur. And just the very basic scientific fact that we don't see with our eyes, but it's the brain and the eyes act as a lens. That alone, to a skeptic, you know, should say, okay, well, maybe let me scratch my head. Let me think about this a little bit. You know, so there are some questions that I think it's just a matter of whether somebody wants to step up to the plate and ask those questions and not worry that it's going to shake their religious belief, whatever that is, whatever the package is that somebody handed to them and said, here you go. This is what, you know, this particular religion, this is what we believe and this is how it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to do, is be able to really scratch our heads and allow ourselves to expand, allow the potentials, allow ourselves to see that there's got to be larger potentials. And that in itself allows us to see more. So yes, I think, yeah, there are imprints coming in from other pockets of time that people are carrying, that scientists, they can't even figure it out. So that alone tells you there's more going on here with us as human beings than meets the eye.
Absolutely. How about the idea of, you know, holography, or if we talk about the word that is in the title of your book, you know, the holographic canvas or the holographic model of the universe, that will explain a whole lot, won't it? What's your kind of...
Well, absolutely, because that goes back to the same thing again with the brain, the fact that we don't see with our eyes, but it's the brain. So, you know, everything is really existing as a hologram, a holographic projection. After all, the brain, you know, you're picking up the light, the frequency patterns, and they're being translated or sent back through the optic nerve, through the cones and rods in the eyes, and this image is projected out there before us. But because of how the brain operates, tied in with obviously the five senses, and then if we take everything and break it down to, you know, just all frequencies, because everything is frequency patterns anyway, these five senses that we feel that we have are various frequency patterns, and it's those five senses then that are reaching out and intertwined then with what we call emotions, which are electrochemical. Mm-hmm. All of those work together to create the idea or the illusion of everything being solid. And that is realized that nothing is really solid in the manner in which we think it is. You know, everything is both a wave and a particle, and moving at, you know, X amount of speeds. What is it like a film, like 24 frames per second? It, yes. It's moving fast enough to give you the illusion that everything is a solid form.
Yes.
And let's not forget the things that we do not, that we are not able to see simply because it's not part of our construct. It's not part of the library that the brain holds. Those things exist, but we're not able to see them. Every now and then, as we step up, and for some of us that expand a little bit more, we begin to see more. We begin to see that there's a layered worlds out there. And that also adds to the realization that you are having a holographic experience That, you know, waves and particle. When nobody's observing anything, how do we know that anything is there?
Yes.
Because it really requires your emotions, your connection, your validation. You validate what you see or what you think you see before you. So so we are on a psychedelic trip.
It's really interesting, and it's true too. I mean, it goes back to the old, you know, the old, what is it, haiku, whatever they call it, like the tree in the forest, right? When it, you know, comes
right.
down and no one observes it. Does it really, you know, make a noise, or does it even happen in that regard? It's more like
exactly
we're building it as we go along in one way. And I guess also that is that kind of interface between, you know, the different controlling systems that you were talking about, because if you know, the more people continuously are holding the same idea of what is going on, you know, either if we talk about the news or even, you know, in regards to a building, right? The more people that are constantly are aware that the building is there or observe it or whatever, that's going to be almost become a construct in itself. That's going to become manifest and become real in the world we're living in. But this potentially is breaking apart the fewer people that are, you know, observing it or looking at it. But one thing I wanted to ask you about is in regards to things like physical laws then. I mean, we mentioned gravity, for instance, before. Do you think that these are laws that we potentially can, you know, overcome if we, I don't know, believe enough or don't believe enough in it?
Yeah, I think that they are. Again, that's a long explanation, but yes. I think I go into it in the book. But yes, I mean, just going back to the fact that when we can come into the realization of the holographic nature of reality, and then, of course, go into the fact that it is, what should we say, our consciousness that's moving around. And we have to understand, again, that everything is a frequency pattern. Due to the fact that everything is a frequency pattern, then we realize also that the body, the physical body, is it has a certain resonance to it. It's got a certain frequency to it. However, the vibration at which the physical body is operating is always going to be based on the level of consciousness or the level of awareness which we hold. Mm. So it's that level, the vibration of that level of awareness, you know, whatever the limitations are of that awareness, is what is going to, the cells in the body and the overall physical body is going to vibrate to. So we're unable to penetrate the things around us because we are vibrating at the same rate of speed as everything around us. Mm. So that's the difficulty why, you know, that's reason why we're not able to penetrate that. One, yes, we have collectively agreed that everything here is solid. So with that saying, yes, you touch a wall and you're just going to feel a wall. You're not going to penetrate that. But should we be able to, I think, over time begin to shift and release the programs then of the can'ts, of the things that we can't do, and then the brain itself starts to shift. Actually, the brain actually is known to physically expand, I mean, from meditation. But there are all these compartments in the brain that can allow us to experience a great many things, but that's again based on us desiring to understand more, and that desire and that acquiring of knowledge begins to shift the actual consciousness. Mm. That sends, of course, another message to the brain that this being is wanting to access more pathways in the brain. That then starts to change that whole process, as the brain is already in touch with all potentials that exist anyway. The brain is scanning everything at all times, all realities that we have no knowledge of at this time. The brain is completely in touch with all of those zones. We can even give that example, as I like to use, of somebody being hypnotized and the fact that They may have entered a room. They probably didn't, their back was turned to whatever the object was. But under hypnosis, they can go back, pick up whatever was in the room, what was shown, what was on the computer, mm-hmm. even though they hadn't looked at it. So the brain, you're scanning everything at all times. So again, being able to really understand more about the scientific aspect of us, of our physical bodies, not looking at this from the fluffy, new age, mystical. I'm not even venturing on any of that. I'm just looking at this scientifically.
Yes.
And the fact that this was possible. I mean, this was being done, a long time ago. There were beings that were living a lot longer. Now, because there's so much to it, I hope I'm not chopping it up too much, but there's just so much that has to be said about it. The things that I'm talking about right here now are some of the very core, reasons why we experience the level of control that we experience on the planet. Mm. There are a great many forces here on the physical plane as well, in a major way, who feel that this kind of information is not for the common man, that you don't need to get this. You don't need to know it. You don't need to know this because you are not worthy of knowing any of this or returning to who you are, our abilities to be telepathic or any of these things. So we live in this suppression, this suppressive state and this control process. This is, again, this package that we are given. But these are all, this is all science. The bottom line of everything is going to always go back to science. And anybody who wants to throw that out, then go ahead and operate by the package.
Yes,
it's working for you.
Would you say that it's our kind of destiny, I guess, in that sense, to evolve or go into this direction? In that sense, do you think that that's the progression that we're on currently, that we're going to expand into this area, either if we talk about being able to pierce through the veil of the current paradigm that we're in, or do you think that this is happening for some other reason, only for a few selected individuals that choosing to go down this route? What do you think?
I know that it is part of the process of us being human beings. You come, you have the experience to the most limiting degree possible, and logically there has to be, like any game, like any good game, or any game at all, good or bad, there's an ultimate, there's an ultimate. There's an end to some degree, sorry, but it's an end only to a specific way in which maybe the game was being played. Mm. This is a cosmic game, and it is a giant game. And so, yes, the object of this giant game is to transcend all of these experiences at some given point in time and move back into a less limiting concept of a reality or what you could be or what your capabilities are. So we're going through, we're on this, this ladder that you are, you're climbing up. You've climbed all the way down. Now you have the opportunity to climb all the way up. It is the right and birthright of every being to be able to do these things. There's no doubt about that. It is the right. But I don't see that all human beings will do this at the same time.
Sure.
I think that there are some who will, although the New Age movement tends to put that out there that, everybody is going to be shifting into. No, everybody is, obviously it can't be everybody shifting. And I tell you why. Go back to what you had asked me before about the imprints and things that, people have encoded in them. And I mentioned about experiences. Well, there are so many things that each one of us probably must process then, must clear, must move through. And we can call it, for lack of a better word, karma then. And when I use the word karma, again, I'm looking at this scientifically, the fact that for every action, there is a reaction.
Mm.
Okay. It doesn't matter which way we go. For every action, there must be a reaction. So we all end up having to deal with the reaction from everything that we do in our life, every thought, everything we do. With that said, because time is so trippy, every soul has the opportunity then to, however they do it, I don't know, in this life, however we want to perceive that, to balance, to create some sort of balance. Because let's face it, we have to have some sort of balance, period. And yes. It's just across the board. If we didn't, everything would fall apart.
Yes.
So there has to be, with that, some sort of balance. So to say everybody is suddenly going to make this massive leap would be to go ahead and go back to the same, the belief that has been held in Christian faith for a long time, that, you know, no matter what your sins are, just ask Jesus for forgiveness and it all just goes away.
Hmm.
Which sounds like you don't process anything. You just say, you know, ask for forgiveness and it's all done.
Yeah.
But that might be so. But there's still going to be some sort of balance.
Yeah.
So I see that everybody is then having the opportunity to make those choices as to what they will believe now, what they're willing to believe. How far are you willing to step up? Are you willing to let go of your packaged beliefs? So your packaged beliefs are obviously things that you need to experience as part of your own personal processing as an individual in this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
That would be infringing on that. So I think people who are ready to move into whatever that the next shift is, then they have the opportunity to make that kind of transition. I think the individual can make that transition. I don't think that it has to be collective. Even if we had, say, a mass amount of people go through some sort of shift in this time, there's always going to be some that are holding this concept of reality that they're not ready to let go of that. So because of the fact that past, present, and future obviously exist simultaneously, no matter what we think, this concept of reality is always going to exist somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always going to exist somewhere. So a lot of times we want to think that something is eliminated completely. But if science is also looking at the fact that, you know, all of this is overlapping, you know, then we have to look at the fact that everything exists somewhere in some other point in time. Just because we're not experiencing it at that moment doesn't mean that it doesn't exist somewhere. It's sort of like being able to travel back to the past, you know, at least in your mind at this time, you can travel back to a memory of a particular time.
Yep.
and experience that, or even under hypnosis, experience that, and it's very real. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on here, but we have to look at the science of all of this.
Absolutely, and the basic idea is we don't even know, as you described before. You know, if we talk about, you know, how people perceive reality or the world. I mean, I could say green, and you can say yes, I see that color too, and we agree. But then, you know, the nuances of that might differ, you know, very much individually and so forth. And we're talking about a potentially a very kind of subjective construction here that. Although we think that we're, you know, we're agreeing and we're conversing with other people and so forth, I believe at least that we're very much kind of living in our own universe, because it's very difficult to take ourselves out of our own, you know, individual experience. Mm-hmm. Or even brain or how we perceive things, you know. So basically, this could be a huge, as you say, in that regard, a game or even an experiment going on, and we're all kind of experiencing this individually.
I agree. You know, I absolutely agree. Yeah, you said it correctly. I absolutely agree. How many times do we talk to other people and we're so ever so clear in what we say and it gets completely misinterpreted? I don't know that we're hearing the same, getting the same frequency, obviously, from those words coming out, the sound. I don't know that we're always hearing the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of it's very, very interesting when, you know, when you get to that level of it, it feels like again, we're back to that idea that this is very much an awareness, I guess, that is experiencing its this goes back to what Bill Hicks said, of course, but an awareness or a consciousness that experiencing itself subjectively and kind of slowly mm-hmm. also is discovering itself and learning about itself in this process. Mm-hmm. And I think that we as human beings actually are part of that, you know, in that sense. We are the ears and eyes and sensory perception of the universe. I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you hit it on the head, because that's exactly what it is. This force, this source that we keep looking for, that is what is so funny. It's like the dog trying to bite its tail. What we're looking for is really ultimately us appearing in this manner, yet we ultimately really are the void itself, the, you know, zero point, the yes. nothingness of time, in its imaginatory process of seeing all that it could potentially be. And here we are, you know, as that, as you said, as the eyes, ears, the experience of that, you know, one potential unlimited source. So yes. we are this, you know, whatever we're looking for, we're ultimately it.
Absolutely. Hey Sonia, we're kind of slowly approaching the end here of our first hour. I would love to continue talking more with you about you know, duality and maybe go into a little bit more of the whole other form of control that we talked about in regards to the government and also some of the new age, you know, the era of the new age that we are approaching. And I'd love to get your take on some of this, because I know that you've been writing on this and have some really interesting ideas and theories. So what do you think? Do you want to continue with us?
Yes, that sounds good.
Before we do that, though, I do want to mention a couple of your websites again. I want to get out the information for people who are interested in getting a copy of your book, The Holographic Canvas. So maybe you can just mention a few of your website that you have out there, and also, of course, tell us how people would go about getting a copy of your latest book.
Okay, well, the book is called The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, and you can go to my website, www.spiritinform.com. And you can purchase a copy through the site. You can get it through Amazon, but you can also purchase it through the site. And I, of course, can send you a signed copy at that time. I also do a radio show called Sovereign Mind Radio, www.sovereignmindradio.com. And I publish a magazine called New Corporate Body, and that's newcorporatebody.com. And it's all based on all of this information.
Excellent. So there's a few websites there for you to check it out. I will have these up on the radio information page, of course, to this program. But the main websites here is spiritinform.com and sovereignmindradio.com. Do check that out. And the rest of the links I will have up on the website as well. And I'm looking forward to our next part here as we continue more and talk more in the member section about some of the new age, basically, and the deception behind that. I also want to ask you a little bit about Obama and all the change talk that we have going on right now, what that actually mm-hmm. means in context of what we've talked about here before. But stay with us, Sonia, and we'll take a short break, and we'll be back. Thank you for listening to our first segment. Head on over to our website, redicecreations.com, and join us in the member section for more of Sonia Barrett, as we'll dive deeper into the New Age, Obama, the Messiah complex, and all the things that keep us in check, preventing us from flowering to our full potential. Also, don't forget to check out architectsofcontrol.com. So more coming up after this break.